Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Fred Vogelstein is a contributing editor at Wired magazine. We asked him to join us to kind of catch us up on this Facebook story on the election, and not just of Donald Trump, but of Barack Obama, for that matter, and what happens next. Hey, Fred, this is John. You're on WGN in Chicago. How are you?
I'm great. It's nice to be with you.
Do you jaywalk?
I'm afraid I do. I'm from New York City. Nobody jaywalks in California. People look at me strange. I'm not going to stop doing it.
Yes.
So before we get into that, let's do the Facebook story. That might be less controversial. Let's start with this. Facebook has a tremendous amount of data about you or me. Obviously, we're giving it to them every time we use their site. They make that information available to other parties, correct?
Yes, they do.
And they do so intentionally, legally, correct?
That's correct.
So tell me about Cambridge Analytica. They told Facebook that they wanted data from Facebook for research. Is that right?
Excuse me. It's a little bit more complicated than that. The way this Facebook actually operates, what's really interesting is that in some ways, the Facebook story is the story of the modern internet. Whether or not you're downloading an app for your iPhone or for your Android phone, or downloading an app on Facebook, every time you do that, you give up a little bit of data. It's the exchange that goes on in order to take advantage of the way the internet works. What happened here is that a researcher at Cambridge walked in through the front door of Facebook, said, "I've got an app that's going to do X, Y, and Z," signed up on Facebook's website the way any developer can sign up, and started downloading data. All of that was totally legal, and in fact, when the people interacted with that app, they knew that they were giving up their data. Where things went awry was that the guy who was doing the research then went and sold all that data to Cambridge Analytica. He wasn't allowed to do that.
What was the purported purpose of the data gathering to begin with? What were they doing? What were people volunteering for?
So they were volunteering to be part of a personality survey.
Right.
So about 270,000 Americans agreed to participate in the survey. I actually think the gentleman who set it up, a guy named Alexander Kogan, was actually offering to pay people to be part of these personality tests. And essentially what he was promising people was, answer a couple of questions and then we'll take those questions and mush it together with your Facebook data, the stuff that is all your history of likes and your declared interests on Facebook, and we can tell you more about yourself than you yourself know about yourself.
I think a lot of us have seen those sorts of things and thought, oh, this is kind of fun. Let's do this. And I guess, beware everybody now. You can't claim ignorance that when you play those games, you're giving up data. So then Cambridge Analytica gets this information, correct?
Yeah. So here's where things get kind of messy. What happens when all this data gets downloaded to this guy Kogan? The way Facebook worked 5 years ago was that Kogan not only got data on the people who signed up, but he also got data on all their friends. So what that meant is that if everybody had about 200 friends, which is about the average, that meant that he got 50 million data on 50 million Americans.
And then how does it connect to the Trump campaign?
Well, because Cambridge Analytica was the data mining operation that was started by Steve Bannon and Robert Mercer. The two of them, together with this firm in the UK, created this firm that was designed essentially to come up with political advertising that would make you do what it hoped you, effective political advertising.
And it's not just in the United States. It wasn't just for the Trump campaign. It's across the world. I saw a bit of this British documentary. It looked like I was watching about it. And they said, oh, we're in Malaysia. We're in Brazil. We're in China. We're all around the world. Australia, we've had great success. And here's what they do. If they know what your proclivities are and your tendencies, what your fears are and strengths are, they can create maybe online, they can create ads, or they can create fake accounts. They can create profiles online. They can manipulate what you see and ultimately how you feel about a candidate. But they got to know what buttons to push. And I guess it can be effective, huh?
Absolutely. And so here's the thing that's sort of that's interesting about this. Human beings are it appears, seem to be totally fine with this when it comes to selling them soap and iPhones and consumer and other consumer products. What is clear is that even though the techniques of doing that with political candidates are exactly the same,
yeah.
When you do it with political candidates, people feel like it's mind control. They feel like it's an assault on democracy. They feel entirely differently than they do if you're using this data to try to sell them something that they can buy.
Sure, but I don't know that we agree that it's okay to sell me mayonnaise or soap based on false information. And candidates are being sold with fake news and false information. And they're pushing my buttons, but they're not doing so legitimately, ethically, if you ask me.
I think that I don't disagree with that at all. And actually, I think that what Facebook needs to do is I think it needs to tighten up the way the data on you moves around the internet. But also, I think what Facebook needs to do when Mark Zuckerberg finally decides to publicly talk about this, and I suspect that he's going to do something later on today, what Facebook really needs to do is acknowledge that it hasn't done a really good job of helping people understand how the data that it has on them gets used, who gets to use it, mm-hmm. why they get to use it, what the rules are, and how they can protect themselves more easily. I mean, all these settings exist. You can turn off all this stuff inside of Facebook, and you can turn it off now a lot easier than you could back when this whole situation took place. But Facebook has never been super good at helping people understand and navigate how their data is going to be used and how it might be misused.
So I believe that Zuckerberg wanted Barack Obama to be president. I believe Zuckerberg did not want Donald Trump to be president. And so where we're painting this as some sort of dark and sinister thing, isn't this exactly what the Obama campaign bragged about being able to do?
Well, I think that what's different a little bit is, Obama, it is absolutely true that Obama's campaign used Facebook in 2008. In fact, you could argue that one of the reasons that Obama got elected in 2008 was because he used Facebook more effectively and social media more effectively than anybody else. What's a little different is that Obama, the stuff that Obama did was completely above board and upfront. So what Obama's guys did, they made it clear what they were doing and
well,
how they were doing it.
Yeah.
Whereas what happened here is most of the data wound up A, getting siphoned up by somebody from overseas, and B, nobody knew about it.
Well, I'm sorry, but
I think the thing that gives people sort of the creeps, honestly, is not only that their data got siphoned up by somebody from overseas, but that they got siphoned up from somebody overseas who had ties to the Russian government.
Yeah, I don't like that either, but I think this is a difference that isn't that great. I mean, that's different, but this is what both campaigns had in common. Both of them went to Facebook. Both of them took information about me that I didn't know. Both of them used that information to try and influence the election. Now, if my guy won in 2008, I guess I'm okay with that. And if I don't like Donald Trump, I guess I'm not okay with that. But it still sounds to me like both of them were doing the same thing. But I need you to respond to that in just a minute. It's 2:21, and we've got some phone calls. I'm not surprised. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for Fred Vogel. He's a contributing editor at Wired Magazine. He's got a long and fascinating piece at Wired.com about this. And you are next on WGN. Let's finish a conversation with our guest. His name is Fred Vogelstein. He's a contributing editor. Read his piece at Wired.com, Wired Magazine, about the Facebook data breach. That's kind of an interesting point, too, isn't it, Fred? Data breach. Facebook said this really wasn't a breach. We all might not like what happened here, but the firewalls are good. They didn't get through, across, or over them. We gave them the information, right?
Yes. In fact, like that's the thing that I find a little interesting about this, what's gone on in the past few days, is that Facebook has been totally obsessed with trying to make sure that people think that there was no data breach here, that the firewalls of Facebook weren't hacked and whatnot. But in the process, it seems like they missed, they haven't addressed the much bigger issue, which is that, you know, people feel like their data was misused without their permission, and they feel like Facebook moved too slowly to deal with the problem.
You agree with that?
I do.
I think that
it was clear simply from reading news reports going back a year ago that the data from Facebook had leaked out of Cambridge and had leaked out of the UK and was being used by Cambridge Analytica. I think that that alone was enough evidence for Facebook to reopen the investigation.
But Facebook makes money giving this information to other businesses, right? So I can see why they'd be loath to cut off that revenue stream, right?
Well, I think that Facebook makes money. Facebook doesn't actually sell your data. It makes money by generating traffic on its website, and through newsfeed and having people advertise, and so by having people generate make applications on Facebook, that actually generates more traffic. But I don't think they actually sell your data for a profit.
Here's a couple of questions from our listeners, and we'll make the questions and answers short, and then get to news. Steve, you're on WGN. What did you want to say?
How you doing, King? You know, my question is during the president's run as a candidate, I know Jared Kushner was controlling his social media aspect of his campaign. My question is, can or would it have been possible for Jared Kushner or anyone in the campaign to give the talking points of what they wanted all these people who were unknowingly to be fed, to have all this mind game being played? Could that have been done? Was there a collusion to fool voters?
Yeah, no, I get your interesting choice of words, because that's not the collusion we're all talking about. But go ahead and speak to that, Fred.
Well, I think that to the degree that Jared Kushner Kushner was involved is probably to the degree that he was overseeing what was going on at Cambridge. So Cambridge was essentially Steve Bannon and Robert Mercer, and so that's sort of where a lot of the stuff was going on. What I think people are a little worried about is whether or not, for example, the source of the data, Alexander Kogan, what his contacts to the Russian government were. He was clearly a professor at St. Petersburg State University. He also clearly got some grants from the Russian government, but it would not be a very good look for Facebook if it became clear that actually Putin knew what Kogan was doing, and that data then wound up in Donald Trump's campaign operation.
But at its most basic, if via Facebook or this questionnaire that people filled out, the Trump campaign was able to find out from Facebook that people don't like Hillary, or they feel a certain way about guns or immigration, or pick the issue, and here's some of my sensitivities and vulnerabilities. And then they took that Facebook data and they were able to feed to you stuff that would pop up that would play on that and help Trump win. It sounds to me like that's, in fact, what happened. I mean, I'm generalizing, but that's the ballpark, right?
No, in fact, I think that that's the thing that people are pretty upset about. They feel like, A, their data was taken without their knowledge, and B, it was used to do stuff that they would never given permission for, and C, it does seem like Trump was very, very effective. Trump's operation was very, very effective here.
Yeah.
I think that, like, one of the things that Facebook is hoping to do is, you know, the thing that, like, was that the Trump campaign did with this data was to come up with ads that were targeted to each down to, like, the person. And what Facebook is trying to do is make its ad policy operate the same way it does on radio and TV and in newspapers, so that every ad that you use has to be shown to everybody, so that, like, you can't actually target.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
The way that, so that you can't actually do the kind of targeting that Facebook was, that the Trump campaign was able to do on Facebook. But, you know, that's that was then.
And that's an interesting ethical question. Maybe they should be able to. If they can be so sophisticated, forget selling you politicians, but, again, a certain kind of mustard. They know that you like garlic. We're going to make sure you see the garlic-scented mustard. I'm not sure that ethically that's terrible, but I have to think about that and get back to you another day. Fred Vogelstein.
I think the thing about that is that we should be able to all have, as a society, a conversation about it. It would be totally fine to me if we all, as a society, agreed that that was going to be okay. But we need to actually have a conversation about it. And what I think people are upset about is that they haven't actually been able to do that.
Or that we didn't even know that that was happening.
Exactly.
I'm out of time, Fred. Wonderful. Read Fred's piece at Wired.com, and let's you and I visit another day.
I would love that. Nice to talk to you.